While the new Senate is still being finalised, what we do know is that many major anti-climate change senators are out. Liberals Andre Nikolic from Tasmania, Sean Edwards from South Australia, Chris Black from WA have all lost their seats, along with Independent John Madigan, Liberal Democrat David Lionhelm. All these senators actively campaigned against renewable energy and climate change policies. But these senators have also been replaced by the likes of Pauline Hanson's One Nation, the Nick Xenophon team, Darren Hinch's Justice Party, and Jackie Lambie may pick up an extra seat. So regardless of which party forms government, what does the introduction of these senators mean for climate change policy in Australia going forward? Kristen Siamis reports.
Giles Parkinson is the editor of online climate change news site Renew Economy. He says that regardless of which party forms government, the challenge will be implementing a long-term renewable energy plan.
One of the major issues for whichever government is to lay out a long-term plan for renewables, because at the moment the policy lasts till 2020 and then it stops, and that's just not providing the investment incentive. You know, there's a lot of good reasons to invest in renewables. People do understand that it is the future, that it will be cheaper in the long run to invest in wind and solar. But while we have these long-standing coal generators, a surplus of coal generators in the system, and we've got a market which is dominated by sort of the energy oligarchs, then unless we get policy changes, it's just not going to happen quickly enough.
While there may be more right-wing senators in the new parliament, Giles Parkinson doesn't think that there will be a problem. He says that they don't represent the opinions of the Australian people.
You know, the far right is a minority. It's not very representative of the Australian people at large. And I think people are probably getting a bit sick of, you know, their constant scare campaigns and their obsession with things like immigration, with Islam and climate change. Look, we've seen a few people voted out of the Senate and voted out of the lower house who were climate deniers, who don't like renewable energy, but we've seen them replaced by others, you know, such as Pauline Hanson and her offsider Malcolm Roberts, who are just as bad or possibly even worse. But look, you know, with any luck, that Hanson will be very much play a minor role.
Suzanne Harter, climate change campaigner at the Australian Conservation Foundation, disagrees. She sees Pauline Hanson's denial of climate change as a potential problem in passing any future environmental or climate change policies.
I suppose where we have a real big question is what some of the other new, particularly senators, will be supporting in the new parliament. For example, we've seen Pauline Hanson's her party agenda, which is pushing for a royal commission into climate science. So she doesn't even believe that climate change exists and is concerned about perhaps what she calls corrupt influence of people peddling, I guess, untruths, which is a concern. She also wants to see the renewable energy target scrapped and would oppose any moves toward an emissions trading scheme. So definitely some problems there.
The Nick Xenophon team will be key players in any climate change legislation being passed. Nick Xenophon famously opposed the carbon tax, saying that Australia needs a more efficient scheme that rewards low-emission industries and encourages greater investment in new sources of renewable energy. Both Renew Economy's Giles Parkinson and the Australian Conservation Foundation's Suzanne Harter think that the Nick Xenophon team will be easier to negotiate with than the far-right senators, despite having some issues with his policies.
He does actually support a 50% renewable energy target for Australia. So those pretty much in line with what Labor policies are. His proposed mechanisms are probably different. The one slightly frustrating thing about Nick Xenophon is he seems to have a bit of a blind spot when it comes to wind energy. So he's actually been quite supportive of some of those wind energy Senate inquiries into wind energy that went on during the Abbott years and really resulted in wind energy investment in Australia basically came to a standstill. So I don't quite understand what his problem is with wind energy. He does come from South Australia, the state with more wind energy than any other state. But he is a supporter of solar, both large-scale solar and household solar.
Fine team, which is going to have some strength as well. Nick Xenophon has put forward also some strong climate policy support. He's referenced a report that was done by Frontier Economics that looked at a form of market mechanism, which he has sort of hung his hat on, saying this is where we need to go. He's willing to support some relatively strong targets in terms of climate pollution reduction. And is also willing to support a strong push on renewable energy.
Giles Parkinson also says that despite the controversial views of some of the newly appointed independent senators, the new Senate could end up being a good thing for the climate change and environment sector.
My sense is that it might actually be marginally better, if only because there was sort of four or five individual senators in the last group that that were opposed in various forms to climate change and renewable energy. But if you combine Labor and the Greens and the Xenophon team, then you probably have a majority which is in favour of climate action and strong renewable energy targets.
Giles Parkinson, Renew Economy editor, finishing that report by Kristen Siamis.